Founders, welcome back to the Zero to 5,000 podcast, where we obsess over the convergence of human potential and business results. Today, our hosts Drew McClure and Jordan Mitchell have another insightful conversation for you. So let's jump right in.
Okay, founders, welcome back to the podcast. Today, we are joined by Kelly Gann. Kelly is president and CEO at Freestyle Creative, a full-service marketing agency based in Oklahoma City, where she leads the team and oversees all aspects of the agency. During Kelly's tenure, the company has grown over 70x, earning a spot on the Inc. 5000 and Metro 50 fastest-growing company lists. She has been an integral part of Freestyle's leadership team since joining the company in 2014 and became a partner in 2020. Under Kelly's leadership, the company has expanded into a full-service agency that consistently produces award-winning campaigns. And to tell us how she has done that is Kelly herself. So Kelly, thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Well, I'm excited. We normally get the origin story. First question I'll ask is, hey, where'd the idea for this company come from? But what we get today is we get to hear about your journey joining a company that already existed and working your way into the position you're in now and the place the company's in now. So take us back. Was it 2014 when you first joined?
2014. And I can share some of the origin story too, because that's really important part of how we got to where we're at. But I was founded back in 2007 by our wonderful founder and managing partner, Vahid Parzana. And so he comes from an awesome family of entrepreneurs, and they immigrated to the United States from Iran back in the 70s before the revolution. And so started a really successful home building company here in Oklahoma. And so entrepreneurship was in the blood, and Vahid decided he wanted to start his own company. And so fresh out of university, early 20s, started a video production company here in Oklahoma. And it was a rental shop, commercial, full service documentary, and the indie film scene in Oklahoma was really burgeoning at the time. And so we have a really cool founding story, and that we got started in the film production world. And so it's a tough industry, and video production solely is a really tough business model. And so he had the bold idea that he wanted to expand into full service marketing to expand the business model and just increase opportunities. And so that is when I joined the team. And so that was in 2014. Gosh, that would have been about 7 years later. And I had come from a large agency at the time, but I was still like pretty early on in my career. And I started working with Vahid. And in some of those early days, it was just him and I, it was just the two of us, was kind of building this marketing agency from the ground up really at that time. And so in some ways, he kind of credits me as the co-founder of the marketing arm of Freestyle. And in those early days when you're in startup mode, there's a lot that you go through, and there's a lot of building and a lot of challenges to overcome. And so you got to start somewhere. So we started off really small, and it just started compounding over time. We had some really awesome opportunities that happened along the way. And fast forward about a decade working together, we're an Inc. 5000 fastest growing company now, which is really exciting.
Amazing.
And we've got some really awesome clients here in Oklahoma, and expanding into the region, and have really hit our stride. We've got some really awesome growth on the horizon. So it's a really exciting time for us as a business, but we've been through a lot of the peaks and valleys that many, business owners go through over the years. And I was sharing with you earlier on the call, but we've also got a really cool story. Those that are familiar with Rocket Fuel by Gino Wickman, we are the textbook example of a really great working visionary integrator duo. And so that's been something that's just been kind of magic for us over the past decade and working together. And I think it's really contributed to a lot of our success over the years. And so
Super cool.
Just Freestyle in a nutshell.
Yes. So in 2014, he had already for about 7 years been doing video production, that kind of direct work, and then had the idea for opening a marketing arm of this business. What made you take a chance and jump into that? I mean, that's not a sure thing, right?
It's not
a long established business and come take this role.
It was a bit of a risk. Cause I was working at a really large agency at the time. And so had some really great background from that. But for me, it was more of just, I was early on in my career and I wanted to just love what I was doing each day and be passionate about the work that I was doing each day. And so Freestyle was the one company in Oklahoma that had roots within the Oklahoma film industry, which is where I'm passionate about. I've got a background in the film world from being on the talent side of things, have worn the producer hat quite a bit. And so it was really exciting to bring what I was good at, which is marketing and advertising, and my background there with what I was passionate about and being a part of a company that was contributing so much to the burgeoning Oklahoma film scene. And so it was cool. And then it's just really exciting to be a part of building something from the ground up. You don't realize how exciting that is until you're a part of it and the way you get to contribute to, you know, really making something your own and being a part of that at the early stage was just a really cool process.
Amazing. So what were those early years like? I mean, it's a little bit of the Wild West when you're in the unknown and figuring it all out on the fly, right? What was that like for you?
There's so much you don't know when you're getting started. And so we had awesome mentors in the industry that we were just seeking wisdom from because we were still, you know, pretty young in our careers. We were building a lot of things organically. And so it was, in the early years, it was just, you know, Vahid and myself. And then we were building a lot organically. So we'd try to get some small wins and small growth along the way. And then you'd add a teammate and then you'd start expanding services very slowly. But it wasn't like we had some big, you know, infusion of, you know, cash to really jumpstart and, you know, start off with a, you know, large team. We built it slowly and steadily and consistently over the years, which in some ways is challenging, but then it's also in some ways a pretty safe and smart way to go about building it too, because you're being really, you know, pragmatic in your approach and how you go about it and making sure that you're not biting off more than you can chew. And so we had some really awesome wins. We had an opportunity in some of those early years with a really progressive and awesome Native American tribe here within Oklahoma, within their health department. And it was a really interesting campaign combating the opioid crisis in Oklahoma. And so for our team at the time, it was so rewarding to be a part of, to know that you're using the power of what you do to make a positive impact for people across the state. And so we were so passionate about that work and we were just all in, and that ended up opening a lot of other doors for us, just from a business standpoint too, because the work was really effective. And then we started getting some traction and some additional clients started, you know, coming to us. And that was really kind of the catalyst for a lot of growth and a lot of opportunities that came our way. And so just started compounding and growing our roster and growing our awesome team and adding capabilities and services. And something that was really important for us and something that we wanted to make sure we did differently was focusing on Freestyle's culture and putting people first, because we had both been at other places. We'd seen some of the ways other companies had just failed over time, and no company is anything without their team and their employees and their clients and all of the people that make the business what it is. Business moves at the speed of relationships. And so for us, that was something that we wanted to be really intentional and just different about, and putting our culture first and just organically growing things. And so that's also hard though, because you know, want to make the greatest impact that you can, and you want to offer the greatest benefits and the greatest compensation and all of those things. But when you're a small business and you're building organically, you have to go step by step and make a plan for how you're going to do that. And so we just constantly set goals and we're trying to make, you know, consistent progress in that way. And it's something that really, I think, led to some great growth for Freestyle and a really awesome team. We've got an amazing team right now that Vahid and I are just so lucky to work alongside, people that are much more talented at what they do and so much more skilled. And yeah, that's, I think, something a lot of leaders will tell you is, you know, bring people to your team that are a million times better and just more skilled and talented than you are, and just assemble that dream team and bring all those people to the table. And so that's something we've been able to do, and we're really lucky. And so Yeah, just consistent organic growth over the years. And then COVID happened, which I think derailed so many businesses. And we definitely took a dip in that year. And it was something that I think builds resilience. And thankfully, we didn't have to do any layoffs. We pivoted to remote work fairly easily just because the nature of marketing agencies, you're already built for, you know, a lot of remote, you know, systems and work. We had a lot of clients that just the nature of the world at that time had to pause. And so we got really smart with business grants and making sure we had a plan to forge ahead. And we did, and we overcame and we came back even stronger. And I think some of the things that you learn as a workplace going through COVID makes you, you know, better. And we have a hybrid remote water model now that is fantastic for our team and work-life balance and culture. And so that's been something that's great. And a really big milestone for us in the past year, we purchased an office in Oklahoma City and have gone through the process of owning our building and really expanding our footprint within Oklahoma City. So
super cool. You mentioned several things that I think are worth noting. You know, I think every approach has its obvious pros and then it has its hidden cons, right? And so if you get that infusion of cash right away, the pro is you can often scale fast and you can hire a team and, you know, get your footprint out there fast. But the con can be that you built an unsteady foundation.
Exactly.
You got to kind of skip some steps, you know? And so when the wind blows, that house knocks over fast. But when you have the con of slow growth, that's the obvious con of like, hey, we don't get to expand as fast as them. You get the benefit of like, you placed every one of those bricks, right? You know exactly why that's there in the business. You know what's built on top of it. And you've got a long lasting potential to the business. And that sounds like the route you guys kind of went. Is that right?
Exactly. Yeah. And sometimes it can seem, because when you're, you know, a business leader, you've got ambitious goals and you want to achieve them as quickly as possible. But yeah, that perspective of doing everything intentionally and in a very calculated manner and just being smart about growth. Yeah, that was the approach that we took. And gosh, it feels like even just yesterday, you think about it, it's been a decade and it seems like slow, steady growth, but even still, there's so much that takes place even over the course of a decade. So
feels like young kids. Do you have kids? I think I saw that in your bio.
Yeah, I've got a daughter who's just one. So
okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I know.
So you're in that phase and it'll keep feeling this way. The way my wife and I talked about it was the days are long, but the years are short.
Yes.
Somehow you're experiencing both parts of time where you're like, some of this feels insanely long. And then you get to like a year and you're like, whoa, this feels really short. Like, how did we get to a year already? Right. And business to me has felt the same. Where you're like, no, I felt every day of that 10 years. And yet at the same time, you're like, it's already been 10 years. Like, that's kind of crazy, right?
Yeah, it is.
So for you in those early days, you knew you wanted to make culture a big part of what we're building going forward. What, as you think back on it, what did that actually look like to prioritize that versus if that wasn't in your value set, what would have been differently?
I think it was just putting ourselves in the shoes of our teammates and just trying our best to understand what was most important to each of them and, you know, when they came to work each day and what they wanted to accomplish in their careers and doing our best to help them accomplish those things. But even just simple things of making sure that we were making steady progress on having great benefits, compensating competitively within our industry and our market, and some of those important things. A big goal for us is to be a best place to work. And so, yeah, we want to have, you know, the teammates on our team that have been with us for, you know, 10 plus years. And thankfully we're in a position like that, but it's just constantly striving to be the best so that we are the best option for our staff. And it's tough within a marketing agency because the nature of working in an agency, it's a tough model. And so thinking about it differently, trying to structure things differently. But yeah, in the early days, it was putting ourselves in the shoes of our team because we've been other places and we get that, you know, we've been employed in other businesses before. And really being even more relationship focused. And so that's something we never want to lose sight of as we scale. And that for us, we want to be a company that listens to our team, because, you know, we're not going to be in every single meeting with clients. We're not going to be at every single shoot. And so making sure that we listen to the experiences, to the feedback of our team, is gold. And so I think a lot of it's just not ever approaching our day-to-day with too much ego, and just coming into it with an open mind and being a company that listens and that genuinely wants relationships with each of our teammates. I hope, you know, when we've scaled to, you know, a large company at some point in the future, we're still taking the time to sit down and go to coffee with, you know, new teammates and asking them, hey, what's going well? What should we start doing? What should we stop doing? What should we keep doing? What are you seeing? And how can we keep getting better?
I love that. I mean, I think we've seen experiments over the last few decades of how do we retain great talent? How do we have great culture? And, you know, money's one of them. Like, if you can't help somebody achieve their financial goals, like, you might lose someone that otherwise might stay. But we've tried things like, hey, what if we gave you nap pods? What if we gave you a scooter to go around the office or whatever? And I don't think that moved the needle as much as some of the stuff you're talking about, like genuine relationship and a voice that matters and things like that.
It's relationship. But then at the end of the day too, it's compensation too, because people work to, you know, further their careers and for their livelihood and to provide for their families. And so I think for me and my business partner, it's as we're going about the day-to-day, how can our company also be a vehicle that's a blessing to our team and their families, either through flexibility and the fact that, hey, they can go take their kids to that doctor appointment and that's not going to be a source of stress, you know, within the workplace, or that, you know, either from a compensation or a benefits, you know, standpoint, or even just quality of life and mental health of just the way we can navigate things together as a team. That's not to say there's going to be the tough days, because that's the nature of, you know, business and just the workplace. There's going to be those fires that come up in the curveballs, but how can we do our best to try to make this be a workplace that has a positive impact on our team? But then also, I mean, we see our clients as an extension of our team. We see our community as an extension. And so just approaching all of that with that intentionality of, you know, every company wants to make a profit, because that's how you measure, you know, healthy growth and success. And that's how you're able to then continue moving forward. But, you know, on our side too, it's how can we take care of our team, take care of our clients, and give back to our community too.
I love it. I mean, if you're listening as a business owner, like, the idea of attracting and keeping great talent, you pretty quickly realize is one of the most essential ingredients to what we're doing, right? We only are as good as we are together, right? And I just think about the type of business you're building. And it reminds me of someone early on in season one that I mentioned, Brooke, who also has built a marketing company like this. And she's done a good job of doing what you have talked about. Like, we're financially successful. This is a place where you can imagine career growth, but it's also a place you want to be with flexibility and team and stuff. And the result of that is I've had two friends in the last year that I call them free agents. They were leaving a situation that wasn't working, but they're super talented and are deciding where to go next. And I've done 300 plus interviews. I know a lot of networks now. I grabbed them and said, you need to go interview here. I'm going to introduce you here. And if you think about, if you can build a company that somebody outside of you that has no vested interest, I get no kickbacks, is saying you need to go here and pointing talent to your company, you're building something right. Does that make sense? And it's everything that you've talked about. Like, they asked why her, why them? And I was like, 'cause they're going somewhere for sure. Like, you don't want to be on a sinking ship. You need to go somewhere where you feel like the leadership is taking this somewhere. But second, it's a place you want to be. Like, if we get those two things right, it's going to be a lot. It's never perfect, but it's going to be a lot easier to attract and retain great talent. Do you agree with that?
And I mean, the nature of our industry too, it's all about the people. It's all about having great people on your team. And so we are only as good as our people. And so if we have the best people on our team, we talk about this all the time, and this is a part of our core strategy as a company for Freestyle. If we have the best people on our team, we're the best place to work. We will provide the best services for our clients. If we're providing the best services, we'll have some of the best clients. in our market, and then we will just naturally and organically grow. And so,
which that's a risky move.
Those are the things we focus on.
It makes sense after success, but I want to give you credit. That's a risky move in the moment because the conventional wisdom would tell you put the client first no matter what. They pay the bills, like do whatever. And that kind of makes sense at first, but you end up having people that are just churned up in the machine. Like we overcommit to things, we let people put unreasonable demands on us because they're the client, and we just throw people at it until they go, this sucks, I can't do it anymore. And then you have the risky move of putting your team first, hoping that it will eventually lead to, you know, better outcome for the client and getting better clients, right?
It's an investment in people up front. And so that's not to say there's tough seasons we come into also where, you know, you're trying to balance both sides and healthy tension of you want to deliver the best for your clients and you want to take care of your team. And so that's the challenge of business. You know, you're pulled in different directions, but we're always going to err on the side of we want to retain the best team. And so, you know, and if you're retaining the best team and clients see that, they want to work with the best. So that's what they're going to gravitate towards. Yeah.
So you mentioned earlier Traction, you mentioned Rocket Fuel, Gino Wickman's framework and book. When did that enter the picture for you and the founder, and how has that impacted you?
Yeah, gosh. So we were lucky to work with an awesome business coach early on. And that was just always something he was continually recommending awesome books for us. And that's something that's been a really important factor in my life is biggest habit is continual professional development, continue to read. And so we read Rocket Fuel. And he had pointed this out to us. He's like, you guys are really a really healthy visionary integrator duo. And so my business partner, he's always been the really charismatic, really awesome networker, just knows so many people. And that's been an awesome driver for our business too. And then I am somebody who's very strategically minded. I love building new things from the ground up. And I just thrive on complex business strategies and, you know, details. And so we are total opposites from a personality and just business standpoint, but we've just found to lean into each other's strengths and to use that to our advantage. And we've just had a really awesome working dynamic over the past several years. And so a lot of other people in our industry, they see us out networking a bunch and we're kind of, you know, a duo. You see us out and about in the community networking together and kind of a package deal everywhere that we go, just because we found such a great way to use our strengths and how we run the freestyle business. And he is also a really awesome level 5 leader in that he grows up other leaders and then he gives them the autonomy and authority and empowerment to set them loose and say, hey, gosh, you're going to go run this thing now. And so that was always something that we had worked on together. Was the intent was for me to come over, and I was the president for the longest time and the integrator of the agency. And then the long-term goal was for me to take over as CEO and you know, run even more of the day-to-day from a visionary and high-level standpoint. And so that's where I'm at now. But we've got even more plans for, you know, growth in the future and building an ecosystem of different entities around freestyle for the future and some really, really cool goals for, you know, the next 5-10 years. And so, yeah, we've just had a great, great dynamic. And we've also been really big on DISC personality assessments. If you're familiar with those, I'm sure a lot of other business leaders do those within their organization. And so that was another thing that we just found too. He's a D, which is, you know, the typical, you know, founder driver personality type. I'm a C. And so for me, it's accuracy and detail and strategic vision. And so it was just a really great combination. And I think with a lot of business partners, it's such an important relationship and there's so many things that can cause challenges, but we've been so lucky to have such a great working dynamic. We've been through a lot of challenges over the years and it's really cool because Vahid's father and uncle, they're also business partners that have worked together over many years. And that was something that he had taught the second generation was it's awesome to have a partner because you never know what challenges are going to come up and you never know when you're going to need to lean on that other person, you know, be it life or just certain things that require, you know, just having another just friend or companion within, you know, the business ecosystem as you're going through storms. It just gives you an added sense of confidence and trust of just knowing that you've got somebody that's there with you weathering whatever storm that is. And so that's been, yeah, just such an awesome thing for us. I'm really thankful I've got a fantastic business partner, and it's been, yeah, such an awesome facet of our success over the years.
I love hearing that just as a testimony, because that same dynamic without certain variables in place, trust or emotional intelligence or whatever, has led some visionary type leaders to think, I just got to do it alone. I had someone that was opposite of me and we clashed all the time, and you know, they pissed me off all the time because they shot down all my ideas or whatever. And they just assume I just got to go build this myself. And what I've always encouraged, and I love this story is here for someone listening, is you just didn't find the right person, or you just didn't know how to make that work. Because if you can get those opposite skill sets and personalities to work together, I call it the dream making combination. You got the dreamer and the maker, and you bring them together, and now we're dream makers, you know?
Yeah.
And there's that strength you're talking about of we're better together. We can lean on each other. There's more than one person bearing this weight and this responsibility. It's why my business partner and I joined. We each had separate practices before and we're successful. Yeah. But he asked me one time, we used to trade notes, like professional notes, like, hey, have you ever been in this situation before? What have you done? And one time he just asked, what's missing in your business? Which is funny. It's like we're being business coaches to each other. He's like, what's missing in your business? I was like, I just feel alone. I was like, I can deliver the quality and whatever. I just feel alone. And he was like, I feel that way too. And so we actually joined in 2020, and that's when COVID hit. And I look back and I'm like, I don't think I could have succeeded. I don't think I would have emotionally and strategically made it through that if we weren't like in the trenches together going, what are we going to do?
Yeah.
How do we need to pivot? What's the way to get through this? And that was just one of the things. But we even saw from our clients, they said, you're better together. I loved it when it was you, and I loved it when it was you, but getting both of you, like we get two different flavors of skill set. And so I just love anytime I hear that, because there's so many people out there that go, it's not worth it. No, don't bring that personality in. Like, it's going to slow you down, visionary. And I'm like, no, it's the rocket fuel. Like that's why I love Gino creating that book, because it's like, you don't do rocket fuel right and it blows up. But if you do rocket fuel the correct way, it powers missions to the moon. Right. So what has been, it sounds like it almost just happened. Like, however the two of you are, you just had a natural trust. But like, was there anything that you look at that was something you worked on?
That trust had to be built over time. But there had been some challenges early on. And I remember some of those earlier conversations that we had had when I was even just, you know, just a, you know, leader alongside Bahi, just an employee in the business. And I think the thing that was different for him when he was identifying me as his integrator, he told me that I treated the business like I was an owner. And so I just approached a lot of things with that type of mindset. And when you go through challenges and you can see somebody's character when they're going through the storm, that can be really revealing of how you can trust somebody, having gone through some of those tough scenarios. And so we went through some challenges early on, and had worked with the business coach who just essentially identified, hey, you guys are a visionary integrator duo, but I mean, there's tough things. COVID was a really, really tough season for our company. And so it's just knowing your counterpart's communication style, their leadership style. There are certain things where I am strong, certain areas where I'm weak, and vice versa. And so knowing how to best communicate or what is going to trigger stress, you know, for people that you're working closely alongside so that you can navigate those, you know, conversations even more respectfully, I think is crucial. And that's not even just in a business partnership, but in working with teams, working with managers, working with clients, of just understanding the nuances of different leadership styles and communication styles. And so I think that can be key. But then the other thing I've even learned too, of just making any type of working dynamic work, be it with a teammate, a client, is you have to put in the work to bring your best self to work and also humble yourself and know when you're off and know when to acknowledge when you are off and, you know, repair when you need to. And so, that's something I've tried to work on, you know, even over the past several years of just, yeah, how can I be better in certain ways? So I think everybody can approach things with even just more humility and just a bit less ego when they're coming into the workplace. But, something that's also been just a really awesome routine for us is pre-COVID, back when we were in the office every single day, we would always end the day together. Vahid would pop into my office and we just kind of sit there and recap the day and just kind of say, hey, what were some of the wins? Yeah, what were the challenges? What could have been better? Where were we off today? And have kind of a mini strategy session or acknowledge anything that it could have been better. And then it was also just a really nice way to end and kind of bookend the day so that we could go home to our families and then just have that refreshing time just away, you know, with our families. And so it was a nice way to conclude the day. And then COVID happened. And so now we do recap calls at the end of the day of just recapping the highlights and strategizing for the next day. And it's just kind of a part of our daily rhythm and just making sure that we are just completely aligned as business partners and how we're going about our day-to-day operations.
So smart. I mean, in any relationship, could be personal relationship, professional relationship, it seems like if you want to increase the feeling or the reality of trust, simplest ways to increase communication.
Yeah.
It's like
as easy as that. Yeah.
You know, it might not solve everything, but it will move the needle where it's like, if we could just talk more, you're going to naturally be a little bit more on the same page and feel more arm in arm, right?
Exactly.
So with this stage of the business, how many employees now and kind of where are we at now in 2023?
Yeah, gosh, right now
are we in 2023?
Yeah. Oh gosh, we're 2024.
We're 2024.
Isn't that crazy. Yeah. You're talking about time flying.
I lost a year. Sorry about that.
I know. No, all good. Gosh, we are 17 employees, but then just the nature of the agency world is you have to be ready to pivot and you have to be ready to staff up and, you know, scale up when the client need calls for it. And so we've got a really awesome extended team too of just trusted partners, vendors, contractors that we call on that we work with very, very regularly that can plug in and just go at a moment's notice, which is awesome. And so that's been the way that we kind of scale up when we need to, because we're still, you know, small and mighty as a company, but just being smart to be able to weather potential storms that come our way.
Again, for the listener, that's a very smart strategy to keep in mind, especially if you're kind of a project-based, service-based business where it can be kind of hard to predict at times how many people you're going to use. Exactly. We can unknowingly have last year's staff for this year's demand, right?
Yeah.
And that's tough. But having like that option of, we've got some trusted partners that we can bring in if it increases for a short period of time, is such a great way to keep overhead low while still being able to take on more opportunities.
Exactly.
And what you will see, just like with your 17 or however many you have now, is you will get to another place in the business where you can safely say, hey, even with the ups and downs, we can staff 30. And then, okay, even with the ups and downs, we can staff 50. It's just knowing a self-awareness of where we're at in this business right now, that this feels like a smart move to keep these people on staff and really bring them in-house. And which amount do we want to keep, you know, just outside of on staff that's more contract freelance work? Is that kind of how you guys think about it?
It is. Yeah. And so that's also, once you reach certain stages in business, gosh, they always say the first million in revenue is the hardest to crack. And then you keep scaling from there. And so, yeah, I feel like that becomes the next challenge as you keep going, is you hit moments of hyper growth and then you plateau a bit and you're stabilizing and then you hit another, you know, stride of growth and then you stabilize and you kind of plateau a little bit. And so I feel like, yeah, once you get to certain sizes, it's the growth becomes harder in some regards because, you know, you're tapping out on certain market share within an area and you have to start changing your strategy and making sure that you can keep scaling at a good pace. And so, yeah, that's been the latest challenge for us is We've had some awesome growth, but we don't want to slow down either. We want to keep, you know, scaling and keep, you know, growing and keep expanding our team and accomplishing great things together, and then continue blessing our team and our clients and, you know, building and raising the bar for what we're offering our team. And so it's, yeah, capitalizing when you're in one of those seasons of growth and really riding that wave.
Yes.
And looking for the next one. There's just so many things. It's a really cool stage to be in, though. It's kind of like surfing.
So, yeah. Oh, I love surfing. We talk about that often, where sometimes you're just in the water waiting for the set to come, and it's being patient and it's putting yourself in the right position. But then sometimes it's like, we got to paddle hard to catch this wave. Like it's here, and we got to switch gears fast. And then, like you said, now I got to stand up and ride this and not let this opportunity crush me, you know?
Exactly.
And that's everything you described is so spot on. And it's also on the good years. Like, it depends on the window of business we're talking about. Like, that's a normal, you know, massive growth, plateau and massive growth. And then a COVID happens. And then Silicon Valley Bank collapses. And you also have these like random chaos agents that come in the life of a business if it's been around long enough, where you're like, we did all the right stuff, and then we got kicked in the teeth and lost clients for no reason of our own, you know? And that tests a business owner as well, doesn't it?
We've been through, lots of those peaks and valleys. And so, we're in an awesome stage of really solid foundation and riding the waves and making those opportunities happen. But in some of the early days too, there were times where we were building and then we had to essentially burn it all down and then start back over again, which can be really hard when you've made so much progress and you know that you're making a tough decision and you're going to be going into an upcoming year of essentially building it all back, and how tough that's going to be for some of those, as you mentioned, random chaos agents or just unexpected fires that come your way. And so for us early on, it was a tough decision we had to make, was parting ways with a really key leader on our team. We knew we were just going in a different direction. It was not the right fit. And we had a different vision for empowering a lot of different leaders on our team, and it just wasn't the right fit for us. But this was also such a talented and key teammate that was really the hub of the wheel in so many different ways. And so we made the tough call essentially to part ways and have to build everything back up, you know, from there. And so, there's so many things that can happen. The awesome peaks, but then also the really, really tough times and the hard decisions and hard things you have to go through in the life of a business too.
You mentioned a phrase, and I want to qualify it here because the phrase sounds probably not applicable to the situation, but there's a thing I see a lot in businesses that Bill Campbell in his book, The Billion Dollar Coach, talks about. He was kind of the legendary coach that walked around with Steve Jobs in the heyday and founders of Facebook and all that stuff. And he called it the cancerous superstar. And again, that's why I'm like easy on the word cancerous. You know, I think he was just more talking about like, there are those that have this obvious value. They're a superstar in one sense. They bring in a lot of revenue, or they're integral to this whole thing in the business. But for whatever reason, doesn't have to be that they're toxic. It could just be going in a different direction, whatever. There's a net negative where we have to make the hard call that isn't obvious on paper to move another direction. And that's just really difficult. It's really difficult emotionally. And it's really difficult strategically to go, but look at what all they're doing. But look at how much depends on them. But look at how much revenue they bring in. Was that emotionally, and not just, you know, strategic, was that emotionally difficult having to make that kind of decision?
It was hard in so many different ways. And I think at the end of the day, it's just, you know, the right next step, and you have to be brave to make that hard decision and move forward, knowing that you're going to go backwards for a period of time. But ultimately, for the future and where you need to be, you have to make that tough call. But then also, even just at the foundation of, for me and my business partner, it's everything that we want to do. We want to have a positive impact through our actions. And so even if you're making one of those tough decisions, even if you're having a tough conversation with a teammate that you care very, very deeply for, but have to part ways or let somebody go or fire them, ultimately, when you're making that decision too, the ultimate goal is for both them and the company to then have an even more positive outcome as a result of that decision. And so it might be painful in the short term, but the ultimate goal is for them to go on and to accomplish even better things for them personally and professionally, and then for the company to achieve what we need to with our vision for the future. And so thankfully, yeah, that was the case for us, and that they're doing, you know, awesome things now, and they've gone on to achieve some great things in a different capacity. And that was the right call for us too, but it's hard in the short term, you know, to know and to be brave in that decision and know that it's the right thing, even if it's going to be painful for both parties in the short term, but beneficial in the long term.
For sure. And I'm similar to, I don't know if I'm similar to you in this or not. I don't know you well enough, but like, I just don't like conflict. I don't like letting people down. I genuinely hate anyone that would say they have hard feelings because of me. And so I had a very high emotional response to the idea of letting somebody go, or even if I was working with a client who needed to let somebody go, I tended to fight for like, no, let's not do that. Right. But I remember listening to or reading Yvon Chouinard's book, Let My People Surf, the founder of Patagonia, and just hearing how he thought, like processed letting somebody go, really reframed it for me. It's exactly what you just said, spot on, where he said, if I start to realize they're not a good fit for the company, it's not just that I'm making that decision on the base of the company. I also have to recognize there's no way, even if short term they feel like they want to be here, there's no way this is a long-term solution for them to thrive. And so if I can be the one to make that decision, I'm actually setting them free to go find somewhere else that their talents might be better used, or their culture might be fit better. And that was just enough of a true perspective to go, yeah, this isn't just the emotionality of I'm saying you're not here anymore. There's also a bigger picture. And he would even say if they've done like a really good job of like cultivating trust with him or whatever, he'd go as far as to like make introductions and, hey, let's brainstorm together where you might be a better fit. I think the only time we don't get that perspective, and it just sucks, there's no way around it, is if we have to downsize, you know?
Yeah.
If just for whatever reason, like, hey, we lost client flow and we just can't afford it, like there's kind of no getting around that sucking, right?
Yeah. No, I agree.
I haven't found a way. Yeah. I haven't found a perspective. It's like, it just sucks. It's just the reality of the situation now.
Yeah. Yeah. I hear you on that side. And yeah, I guess for us, yeah, it's just back to the earlier conversation. It's just, you don't want to kick the can down the road and waste anybody's time either. And so, yeah, for us, we care very much about people. And sometimes the most compassionate thing you can do is just be very clear and embrace the hard conversations, knowing that's the kindest thing you can do. I think, what is that radical candor? Clear is kind. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so sitting in the discomfort and embracing those hard conversations, knowing that is the kindest thing you can do sometimes. And so I think, yeah, we learned that very early on, and that, you know, well, there's a lot weighing on you as a business leader and as a manager, and that it's better just to give feedback early and often and in a kind way too. But then that way you can make sure that everything's been communicated. If there's anything tough that's coming up down the line, your conscience is clear because you've communicated everything that you need to in a very kind and direct and clear manner. And so,
it's hard to undervalue being able to sleep well at night, right?
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Just being able to know, like, even in the tough situation, if I did everything I believed I could do, it's invaluable to be able to sleep well at night in the middle of that.
I know. Yeah. And so that's the biggest thing. I think it's just, how can you be above the line in so many different ways? And so, that was the other thing too, is just navigating life, navigating business in a way where you can go to sleep each night with a clear conscience and know that you had the conversations that you needed to, that you were true to your values, that your company was, you know, living its ethos and its values and all of its interactions. So easier said than done, but
for sure.
Peace of mind is so, important.
So, I love it. Well said. And it is so much easier said than done, but again, just like budgeting or you know, getting an oil change on time. It's like, yeah, in the long run, you're really glad that you stayed above board, that you acted in integrity, that you said what needed to be said, right? I'm just curious, we'll switch gears a little bit here. I know we've only got a few more minutes, but has there been anything in the last year, maybe 2 years, that you all have implemented that you've seen just a really outsized return, where you're like, wow, that was really beneficial to either client success or to culture, yeah, you know, engagement or whatever?
Yeah. Biggest thing on our side, because we talked about this earlier, and that I'm really big on building a strategic plan for our business. And so that's the way my mind works. And we've always been big on Scaling Up by Vern Harnish. And so his system that is, it's people, strategy, execution, and cash, and keeping all of those within healthy balance. And so we've been really big on the one-page strategic plan for us as a company, and mapping that out for essentially drilling out your big goal, long-term goals, be it 5 to 10 years, and then honing in at an even more micro level to the one-year plan and then the quarterly plan. And so that's been a really big driver for us over the past decade. But a big breakthrough for us in the past couple of years is that, man, you can have this really awesome plan, but every single person within the organization has to know that like the back of their hand. And there's so many complexities, so many different nuances into a business strategy and a business plan when you put everything down on paper. And so what was a game changer for us was drilling that whole business strategy into one sentence. If you can boil all of that down into just one action item that the entire team and every single person within the organization knows that they're working towards, be it one action item, one KPI that you're tracking, you're laser focusing on, that everybody knows, everybody remembers, we're all working together. And so if that just lives in the head of the president, then that's not really going to, you know, benefit right, everybody organization wide. And so for us, it was just simplifying. We can still have that, you know, that really complex business plan and all of those different, you know, systems and structures, but we've got to boil it down and simplify it so everybody remembers, everybody knows exactly what we're working towards and what that top KPI is that we're laser focusing on. And so that's what we've done. And it's helped us actually move the needle forward in some pretty tremendous ways in this past year, year and a half, and just being able to communicate what our strategy is company-wide and know what we're all tracking company-wide with just that one KPI.
So much easier said than done.
Yeah. You know? It took us 10 years to finally, yeah, simplify it, but yeah, exactly.
In anything, like, you would think simple would be easier, right? Like, oh, like, we're removing complexity, we're just reducing it to the one statement or whatever, but that's really hard. There's so much fighting for that one statement. It's like, well, if we say this, we're leaving this out. And if we do this, we're leaving that out. I mean, I'm a communicator. So if you give me an hour, it is so much easier for me to guarantee you a compelling message versus you give me 30 minutes.
Yeah.
The reason why is I have to make some hard cuts from that hour to 30 minutes and fight for what's the most essential. Same thing with goals, same thing with focus, right? Then you got that clarity. Now the question is, how do you keep it in front of people? So how, once you guys started getting clarity on some of those key metrics or some of those key phrases, what has helped to actually have it not get lost in the shuffle of day-to-day activity? There's 1,000 fires, there's emails popping up. How does the team keep in front of them that this is the real focus we have?
Yeah, it's just repetition and communication. And so, yeah, I think for us, it was just something finally clicked where we had that clarity, where we knew, ooh, this is the top KPI that's really going to drive us forward. And then from there, it's just integrating that into your, you know, regular meeting rhythms and your systems and everything that you do. And so making sure that it's a talking point that we keep front and center during our all staff meetings, during our exec meetings, during one-on-one meetings with managers and staff. It's something that we keep front and center when we are essentially doing quarterly performance reviews. And that's the top, you know, expectation and way that we measure success. But then also in some ways, it's also really freeing, and it gives us flexibility too, in that if we're, you know, we're a hybrid remote office. And so there's flexibility. It's not necessarily in that we are measuring success by butts and seats. This is the KPI that we are tracking success for. And so that gives flexibility in some other ways, and that, you know, you've got that quality of life. It's just the result we're wanting to see is this top and laser focused KPI that we're really tracking that determines success for us.
Super cool. Love that. So just final question, what's the thing that's got you most excited right now about what you all are pressing into and leaning into? What's the growth opportunity that's got you excited?
Oh gosh, it's just a really cool time for us as a business. We're riding a wave right now. And so it's just fun to be in those seasons of growth. And so I'm just excited to see some of these new opportunities that come to the forefront for us. And we're hitting an opportunity and just a wave right now where there's just a lot of doors that are opening. And so I'm curious to see how we end the year, how we're going to move forward. And we've got some really ambitious goals for the next 5 to 10 years. And then just seeing some really steady progress this year and kind of getting even closer to those has been really exciting for us. And so just the opportunities that are coming through and seeing that escalate this year has been what I'm most excited about.
That's awesome. Now, just a simple pitch for you. If there's a business owner listening to this that might need your services, where do we send them, and who are you ideally looking for? What type of business or what need might they have that you would be someone they should consider?
Yeah, our website is freestyleokc.com. And so we work with a variety of different businesses. And so really companies that are needing holistic, full service marketing and advertising is our bread and butter. And so we like to work with clients in a variety of different industries, but we do a lot of work in public health and behavior change, a lot of work in technology, real estate, and then tourism. And so those are our core areas of expertise. And we've got a brilliant team, and everything from strategic planning and media planning all the way to implementation, full service creative. And then we got our start in video production. And so that's something that we're very known for.
That's awesome. This has been fantastic. It is really cool to hear your story, and you guys are definitely someone to watch, right? There's the stocks to watch. I'm excited to watch you as you continue to grow. You've got all the right pieces, and it's clear that you're building something strong into the future. So thank you for being here, and thank you for sharing your wisdom with us.
Thanks.
Founders, thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed it. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast and hop into our monthly founder email so we can ensure you stay on the edge of peak performance and massive business results.